Hello friends, welcome to VSchool once again. We are in chapter 3. In this chapter, we are going to understand about the foreign exchange market. In the previous two chapters, we saw about what exactly is foreign exchange and what is an exchange rate. So even though now you have understood what is a foreign exchange and what is an exchange rate, you have to actually go to a market to do a buy or a sell transaction in foreign exchange. And hence, it becomes very important for us to understand what exactly is a foreign exchange market. In this chapter, we are going to understand the foreign exchange market and the players of the foreign exchange market. We're going to understand about the speculations and the major speculators. We're also going to know about the central banks and their functions, especially in stabilizing the foreign exchange market. So let's begin with and understand what is a foreign exchange market. Friends, you have to note one important thing. The foreign exchange market is specifically required for exchanging currencies belonging to different countries. If there was just a single currency across the globe, there would not have been any requirement of a foreign exchange market to convert one currency into another. So the basic purpose of a foreign exchange market is to convert one currency into another, and when this conversion happens, the trade of goods and services are facilitated. The required goods or services could be purchased or sold at its determined price in the form of the exchange rate. The term foreign exchange is actually used in the abstract sense. When I say abstract sense, it is not a physical market. It is screen-based. And when we talk it is screen-based, all the dealers in foreign exchange are connected with the communication system, with the telephone lines connected across the globe. And this communication happens to specialized software platforms. And these platforms are designed in such a way that it not only establishes a handshake with the dealers, it establishes identities as well as records and processes the transactions with specific timestamps and recording. The best part of this market, it is open 24 hours a day. It starts from Asia, moves to Europe, and then further to the American countries. So overall, when we see a complete globe, a circular flow of time happens right from Asian to European to the American countries, and hence it is open 24 hours a day. And because the entire globe is connected, there are a large number of buyers and sellers who can actually transact in foreign exchange. And the best part of this interconnection is the price discovery. The prices adjust rapidly, and the demand and supply actually increases the volatility. Based on whichever currencies are in demand, the price would be high. The currencies which are not in demand, the prices would be low. As I said, foreign exchange market is not a physical place. It is a worldwide wide network participated by various banks, foreign exchange brokers, and dealers. The basic function of a foreign exchange market is to bring the buyers and sellers of foreign exchange together so that they can fulfill their buy or sell transactions. It is not confined to any one country. It is dispersed throughout the leading financial centers of the world, such as London, New York City, Tokyo, Frankfurt, Paris. And there can be many more centers connected with it. So how is a trading done? When we talk in terms of trading, it's not just like you go to a market, pay the money and buy the products. Trading is done by telephone, computer-based electronic dealing systems, or the TLX machines. The foreign exchange rates in each bank usually operate out of a separate foreign exchange trading room. Most transactions are either screen-based or based on oral communications. Written confirmation occurs later, so we can have specialized departments working within a forex department. The dealers will work at the front office, whereas the middle and back office will deal with the processing of transactions and reconciliations. The centers are mostly transactions oriented, and the transactions occurs at the main centers, as we saw in the previous slide, such as London, New York, Tokyo, Frankfurt. Most of the volume is generated by the banks trading with each other. We will see in the future slides, 95% of transactions happen because of capital outflow. Only 5% are actually because of the retail trade. Today's foreign exchange has gone high-tech. With the internet and the specialized communication centers, most dealers can do their transactions online. There are specialized dealing systems marketed and facilitated by routers, LRED, XDAO, etc., which enables the bank to state the amount they wish to purchase, sell, and the price. So it's an entire comprehensive system wherein you can log in to your transactions, reconcile, and further grow into it. A subscribing bank can enter into the system and conclude the deal. How are the currency transactions channeled? Most currency transactions are channeled through the worldwide interbank market, the wholesale market in which major banks trade with each other. And this market is normally referred to as the foreign exchange markets. We have different types of markets within a foreign exchange market, like a spot market, a forward market. The basic difference between a spot and a forward market is, in a spot market, the settlement of transactions are done within 2 business days after the transaction has been concluded. However, in a forward market, contracts are made to buy or sell currencies for future deliveries. These are specifically designed based on the needs of the buyers and the sellers. So certain transactions might be required to be executed after 1 month, after 2 months, after 3 months. And herein, the buyer would not like to take the risk, in which case the forward contracts executed in a forward market becomes very useful. And the most important aspect of this is hedging or actually minimizing the risk. Who are the principal players in the foreign exchange market? We have seen in the previous chapter, the largest player are the commercial banks. Of course, the customers of commercial banks also are the players, but they cannot deal on their own. They have to take help from the commercial banks. Then we have foreign exchange brokers, which acts as an intermediary between the banks and the customers. They help them to understand the market. They help them to take informed decisions. They also help them to execute the trades. And most importantly, the central banks intervene in the market from time to time to stabilize the exchange rate in a highly volatile foreign exchange market. Foreign exchange market changes from time to time, minute to minute, day to day, and hence it requires careful monitoring. And here comes the role of central bank to intervene and ensure that the currency does not go beyond a certain limit. Now let us look at these players one by one. The first is the customers of the bank. Customers approach their bankers to buy or sell foreign exchange, to settle their foreign obligations, to sell foreign currency that they have for the local currency. Like, suppose you are a customer, you want to go abroad, you will require foreign currency. Suppose you want to go on a foreign tour, you will require foreign currency. After returning back, you don't want foreign currency because you can't use it in the local market, so you may have to sell it back to the bank. So this is where the buying and selling of foreign exchange is done by the customers by approaching their bankers. It can also help to settle their foreign obligations, especially when they take loans from the foreign financial institutions. So in which case they cannot directly remit foreign exchange, they had to go through the banks, who are the authorized dealers. They can also sell the foreign currency that they may have for the local currency, so that whatever money they have in foreign currency, they can actually become liquid and useful in the local markets. As I said before, the commercial banks are the largest players in a foreign exchange market. And when I say they are largest players, they are doing a dual role. One, on behalf of their customers. Second, on their own account. In the previous slide, we saw what role commercial banks can play for the customers. But it's very interesting to note about the second part. How do they actually use foreign exchange for their own benefit? As I told before, most of the banks dealing in foreign exchange, the profit percentage out of the total profit they earn from the total business, or 50% of the profit comes from the forex business through the treasury department. And here is what I mean to say, what role the commercial banks play in the foreign exchange market on their own. To make some payment, such as subscription or a repay loan, as it has taken in foreign exchange, that is fulfillment of an obligation, or to trade in foreign exchange to take advantage of the rate movements or to speculate. And here, the speculation or even arbitrage can help the foreign banks or the local banks also to get advantage of the market rates and make profits. Banks can buy and sell dollars through a network of branches around the world and through other banks known as the correspondent banks. So this facility is also available for the banks. Whenever a bank does not have a branch abroad, they can have a tie-up with a foreign bank. These banks are called as the correspondent banks. So whether they have their own branch or whether they have an arrangement with the correspondent bank, they can still continue to do trading by buying and selling of dollars and take advantage of the rate movements and ultimately make a profit out of it. Now let us look at another players of the foreign exchange market, the market makers and the primary price makers. The major banks often act as the market makers because of its huge needs and resources. The best example, State Bank of India. Commercial banks and the dealers are normally considered as the primary price makers. The trading often determines or makes a price. Primary price makers also includes the investment dealers and some large corporations. So these players actually do a two-way quote, and by this they can land up into an overbought and an oversold position. What do you mean by overbought and oversold position? When a bank buys more foreign exchange than it actually needs, it is called as an overbought position. And when a bank sells more foreign exchange than it has, it is called an oversold position. Both the oversold and overbought position can be risky. The best thing is to square off on a daily basis. Most of the banks have certain limits up to which they can carry forward the positions to the next day. Some international banks also go to the extent of passing on the open positions to their other branches in other time zones so that the forex is utilized and the risks are minimized. So the lesson in this slide is never be overbought, never be oversold, square off and start with the new position on the next working day. As we saw the primary price makers, they are the main players in the market. We also have secondary price makers. The secondary price makers make foreign exchange prices but do not deal in the market on a two-way reciprocity basis like the primary price makers. The secondary price makers includes the service businesses such as restaurants, the hotels, which accept a customer's foreign currency as payment for the bills. These are also companies that specialize in buying and selling foreign exchange to the generic public, popularly known as the money changers. They have fairly large spreads between the buying and selling rates. Because what do? The money changers or the restaurants and the hotels, they cannot directly deal, so they have to take it from the primary price makers, and they just cannot take it and give it. So they naturally have some spreads to earn some profit out of it. No doubt they help their customers, but within that also they make the profit. And hence it is very, very important for you as a consumer to compare the rates offered by the restaurants, by the hotels, and even by the money changers, and then take an informed decision as to which deal could be the most economical. The secondary price makers sell their surplus positions back to the commercial banks and other secondary price makers because nobody wants to take the loss, especially when this foreign exchange market is highly volatile. So the same rule that applies for the primary price makers, squaring of the position on a day-to-day basis, also applies to the secondary price makers. They might keep small carryovers to meet urgent requirements of the clients, established requirements. However, they won't go beyond that specified limit. Now, who are the price takers? Those who are neither the primary price makers nor the secondary price makers would be the price takers. This consists of those who take the prices of primary or secondary price makers and deal for their own purpose. They do not reciprocate and make the market prices. The best examples are the corporations, banks, and the wealthy individuals. Especially when the banks are not authorized dealers, especially when the corporates and wealthy individuals are dependent on the authorized dealers for getting their requirements of foreign exchange fulfilled. So they have to take the price what is provided by the primary or the secondary price makers. Now we move on to yet another important player in the foreign exchange market, and these are the exchange brokers. Any firm that is engaged in the business of foreign exchange dealing as an intermediary would be called as an exchange broker. The most important thing of an exchange broker is they have to register with the Foreign Exchange Dealers Association in India, popularly known as the FIDAI, before it can start transacting any exchange business for and on behalf of the banks. When we talk in terms of the brokers, they are very, very important. Their job is very specialized because they are involved with guiding their customers. They are involved in providing data and analysis to their customers for making an informed decisions. They help them to execute the deals. No doubt they get a commission out of it. But one small error can prove very costly to concerned parties, and in turn to the exchange broker, it can totally ruin their brokerage business, and they won't get any support from the primary price makers or the secondary price makers. So if you have to establish yourself as an exchange broker, what are the requirements? Number one, you will be facing your customers, and hence you require an office space. Office space won't be just enough. You need to communicate. You require telephone lines. You require the staff. You require the teleprinters, tele machines, hotlines, and the banks, because the banks are going to provide you with the quotes and the currency if needed. And the deals have to be concluded in the shortest possible time and confirmed to the parties concerned. What is the main function of the brokers? To bring the buyers and the sellers together. Now, in an online environment, the technology plays a major part in bringing the buyers and the sellers together. But we are talking of those days when there was no technology. And in that scenario, the broker's job was very important to bring the buyers and the sellers together. And why do they bring them? To inform them about the different quotes and the prevailing rates. Once the quotes and the rates are provided, and once the customer gives them a confirmation, this confirmation has to be passed on to the bank on telephone, and accordingly the contract is booked with the rate, the value date, the counterparty, and both the buyer and seller are very clear with what the contract has been actually executed. The functions of a broker also include to send broker notes to the buyers and the sellers, which establishes the deal, confirms the details in writing, and this is the final thing based on which the settlement happens. The function of the broker also includes to get any exception to the contract resolved on receipt of confirmation from the counterparty. Prior to the introduction of computer-based systems, brokers played a very important role in consummating the deals. Banks would ring them stating that they had a certain amount of currency to sell at a particular rate, and other banks would ring them the needs to buy a certain amount of currency. So banks did not have to go directly to the market and find the clients. Broker played a very important role. Bank would provide the requirements to the broker. Broker will have ready-made clients with them, and based on the best match, the broker will actually arrange a deal which will get consummated by the bank. So bank remains anonymous. However, after the deal is settled, the final thing happens with the bank. The broker would complete the transaction for a fee known as the brokerage. And using a broker allows a bank to show prices to the market on an anonymous basis. So both the broker and the bank gets benefit into this deal. One has to note, brokers are not principal dealers. They do not buy or sell currencies on their own account, but they definitely bring in the buyers and sellers together, try to understand their needs, and actually take this with the primary price makers, secondary price makers, arrange the deal and ensure that the deal is concluded so that it's a win-win for the traders, the brokers, as well as the authorized dealers. Like we saw, the customers, the banks, the brokers, there is another important category in the foreign exchange market that is called as the speculators. Who are the speculators? As we have seen in the previous chapter, speculators want to take advantage of the market and book profits based on their trading. For 95% of all the transactions are speculative in nature. And the major speculators are the banks, the companies, as well as the customers. Banks take speculative positions if they expect movements to their advantage. Companies, dealers buy and sell foreign exchange or take positions. Even government borrow or invest in foreign currencies. Individuals are not behind. They buy foreign currency, stock, or other assets without covering the foreign exchange risk. There can be entities other than this who take positions in commodities whose inherent value is based on a currency other than the currency dealt in the transactions. So the basic objective of speculation is to take advantage of the changes in the exchange rates. Speculators can gain or lose depending upon the exchange movements. And we have seen there can be different reasons for the movements of exchange rates. There can be change of interest rates, there can be inflation, there can be some news on the economic growth, government policies, and so on and so forth. So speculators pay careful attention to that, and based on that, they take their call either to buy or sell and make profit out of it. Speculation in foreign exchange is very large. It causes major swings in rates. It are detrimental. Some speculation is required in the markets to provide liquidity for handling non-speculative deals. Speculation is a reason for efficiency of the market because it not only provides liquidity, but it keeps the market moving. There will be new buyers and sellers entering the market, and rather than the rigid market, we get a liquid market. Like speculators who actually are involved in trading, we have another important category in foreign exchange market, that is the advisors, providing the advisory services. Why advisory services are required? Number one reason, foreign exchange rates are volatile. You require careful study of different factors influencing the foreign exchange rates. And it may not be easily possible for a common investor, a trader, to predict the rate movements. They may not have sophisticated technology and the trading tools which help them to arrive at decisions as to which way the market would move. They might not have high-tech algorithms which will do automated trading. All such resources are available with the advisors. They are better equipped to help their client understand the market, help them fulfill their needs, and the today's basis or on the future's basis, help them to formulate strategies to meet their obligations, help them to protect against the risk, which can be because of market risk, the credit risk, or even counterparty risk. And for that, they can also get revenue in the form of some fee that they can actually charge to their clients. Corporations require advice on how and when they should buy or sell for an exchange. They also need to be aware of how rates are likely to move to protect their foreign exchange exposure. And here comes the help of advisory services. Advisory services helps their client to determine and formulate their strategies. Clients are helped by providing daily or weekly send out information in the form of a letter or a fax with a recommendation. In the present era, they have a very customized platform providing them a dashboard about the portfolio they maintain, the strategies they do take based on the day-to-day information that influences the foreign currency market. The next important player in the foreign exchange market are the central banks. Central banks, unlike commercial banks, are not directly involved into speculations. They are responsible for managing the monetary policy. They are the main agents of the government in managing money. They advise the government on what debt should be issued and what rate. So just like a banker to the bank, central bank is plays a very important role for managing the foreign exchange resources of the government. They also look after the issuance and redemption of the debt. They does the actual buying and selling of debt instruments. Inflation and economic growth are also concerns of the central banks. Central banks actually change the interest rates to suit the monetary policy, to control the inflation, to control and adjust the exchange rates. Higher interest rates will definitely attract inflow of foreign capital. But whenever there is an inflation or more inflow, they can also ensure reduction of interest rates. If the currency is stronger, imports becomes cheaper. How can the central bank influence the interest? The worst and the most easiest method is the open market operations by actually dealing with securities. Withdrawing or increasing cash in the banking system. This can be best done with the CRR and SLR rates adjustments. They can also print notes and put it into circulation. We have seen this during evolution, what role is played by injecting currencies into circulations. They can also monetize the debt issued, and they can rise and lower the interest rates to attract more foreign direct investments or to ensure that the inflow is controlled. Demand and supply determines the currency value. If the Reserve Bank wishes to support the rupee, it would also sell dollars. This is a beautiful example of intervention. RBI's intervention by purchasing or selling a foreign currency maintains the price of a given currency against another currency. RBI on its own will not do it on a daily basis, but they will definitely monitor the situation and, if required, enter into purchasing or selling of foreign exchange. This in turn also helps them to build a forex reserve. Central banks' intervention by buying directly from banks, through brokers, or through other central banks also plays the same role of stabilizing the foreign currency in terms of our Indian rupee. Central banks intervene only if they have to. They normally hope the market will correct itself on its own. That's what I said in the previous slide. Friends, foreign exchange is a very big business. It accounts for as much as 60% of the profits of many banks. The banks invest huge amount in the latest technology for efficient functioning of the dealing room. They don't mind an investment for reaping benefits out of it. Because the more sophisticated your systems are, the more benefits can get derived out of the deals that can be conducted in a 24-hour market. In today's globalized financial markets, access to up-to-date information on the rates is vital, and the entire money that is invested into technology could be recovered with effective deals. Merchant transactions are by and large an insignificant amount of the foreign exchange transactions that takes place. As we saw, over 95% of the transaction happens through the capital movements in the foreign exchange market, and these are done by the banks and authorized dealers. Banks circulate on foreign exchange movements by selling or purchasing foreign exchange, and it is estimated that over 95% of the daily volume are pure financial transactions, and only around 5% of the turnover relates to the underlying trade flows, which itself brings about the significance of the financial transactions that are happening in a forex market. So friends, with this very conclusion of this chapter, the foreign exchange market is vast and has no boundaries. A purchase and sale of foreign currency is done by the phones, fax, dealing systems, TLX, and by the computers through the dealers around the world and by the central banks of the countries for various purposes such as speculation, trade transactions, and to support the currencies. Thank you very much.